Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to coast, This Week in America. The Two Ancient Aliens Finding a New Planet to Live On by Johnson Karam is a riveting work of fiction. Some 11,000 years ago, astronauts escaping from the devastation of their world came to planet Earth in search for survival and a better life. They all arrived different points in the Earth, some even landing in the oceans. The group's central command landed in Mesopotamia, particularly in one location of Asher, where eventually their initial settlement expanded into a powerful nation. The True Ancient Aliens is their story. Johnson worked as a civil engineer, fascinated with books on ancient Assyrians' history, traveled the globe visiting famous museums, found a display stored in the basement of a British museum unseen for 180 years that totally captured his imagination. Johnson Karam, author of The True Ancient Aliens, Finding a New Planet to Live On, is our guest on This Week in America. Johnson, welcome to the program. It's great to have you with us today.
Thank you very much. I'm glad that to be on your show. And I'd like to thank all to your listeners of this program. I really appreciate everything you're doing to me today.
Thank you.
My English is not as good, but I'll try my best.
Well, you're doing well, and I'll slow my English down because I have a tendency to talk too fast, so we will enjoy the conversation. I love the world that you've created in The True Ancient Aliens. Let's talk about when you came to the United States and where you came from. Well, give us a little background. Where are you from originally?
My name is Johnson Karam. I was born in land of Ashur. Land of Ashur is right now they call it Iraq, which is Baghdad. Iraq is in the Middle East, which is independent country itself. I had four sisters and one brother. I was the youngest in the family. In 1959, I was graduated from high school. My parents decided to send me to U.S. to study. So I went to an American library to get some information about United States universities. And at that time, I was very interested in aeronautical engineering. So I got all the information from the library. I sent it to the schools, many schools, and I wind up to get an approval from Arizona University. So that was the beginning of the, when I got accepted by Arizona University, I had told my parents that I can go to embassy to get my visa going. So it took me about a year and a half, my visa, finally I got it, a student visa.
Yes.
To United States. So we got, when I got, I fly to New York because my uncle was in New York. I never seen my uncle and family. So I went to New York. When I got to the airport, a year and a half later, when I got to the airport, a lady came to visit me in the airport. I thought it was somebody, man would be coming. But I never seen any of my family in the United States. So it turned out to become my uncle's daughter. She was 21 years old. Her name was Vivian Karam. So she took me to north of New York, city of Yonkers. They call it Yonkers over there.
Oh, yes.
In New York City. So I met the family completely. My uncle had, I never seen those family. I never seen them, but we had always communicated with the letters with them. So I met them and they were very nice to me. They tried to, after 2 months later of staying in the Yonkers, I tried to go to university back to Arizona. But my uncle insisted that, why do I have to go to Arizona? You have Nobody over there. So why don't you just stay here in New York? There is plenty of school, he says. So I said, okay, we look for a school. Finally, we find a school called Aeronautical Engineering. Aeronautical Engineering School. It was in LaGuardia Airport. So I registered over there and I studied 4 years in the aeronautic because I used to love, when I was young, I used to love to aeronautical in UN because I made my own rocket one day. You can see it probably. Yeah.
Very nice. Yes. You made that?
Yeah.
I love that. Yes. Very talented. Wow. I love that. The video version of this, by the way, is on our YouTube channel. You can go to thisweekinamerica.us, go to videos and see Johnson Karam, our guest on the program, including the picture there, the rocket that he built. And you can go to YouTube as well. Let's go back to the story. I didn't mean to interrupt, but I wanted people to be able to see that. I love that.
Yeah, I was about 20 years when I made that rocket, and the Iraqi government wouldn't let me fly it because it was about 6 feet long by 6 foot and 10 inches, 10 inch diameter. And they wouldn't let me, because I'm Christian over there, they wouldn't let that happen. And because Iraq was built before, was belonged to Assyria one time ago. And the British gave it to Arabs, the Muslims. So for that reason, they wouldn't let me fly it, and they destroyed it anyhow. That was the end of that rocket anyhow. But I used to do a lot of things, and when I was young, I used to build a lot of things. I was very, that's the reason I chose to become an aeronautical engineering. I studied 4 years in the academy, 4 years exactly. Then I found that all the students, my friend, foreigners, they were going out. They couldn't find job because they were not citizens. So I wasn't citizen too, even though my uncle was there, but I couldn't become a citizen at that time in 1960s. So I lost interest in the rocket business or aeronautical engineering because I have to work very far away and I couldn't find jobs, even though if I graduated. So in the summer I went to civil engineering work. I studied civil engineering, changed my direction suddenly, and I found a good job in New York, big company, Silley Stevenson Value and Connect. It was in Park Avenue. So I worked with them about 10 years. 10 years, 9 years exactly. 9 years. Then they sent me a couple of places. I went to Illinois in Batavia. It was a federal project. Escalator, underground escalator. So I worked there about a year and a half. I was in Rochester, New York for 3 years. They're doing subway, underground subway.
Oh, yes.
I did a lot of, yeah, I worked a lot of work. Then in nine, I didn't like Chicago, was too cold because I live in hot, Iraq is very hot, exactly like California. It's a very hot country. Same latitude like California,
Okay.
and the heat is very good, and there's no sweat over there, I mean humidity. So I came to California to visit sometime friend to see some. I like it very much, so I said to my wife when I got married in 1960, after school, I told her that we need to go to California because that's the best, but I don't like rain, cold, and other things,
Yes.
ice, I hate that. So I came to California. When I came to California, I got hired by a big company, Ralph and Parsons, one of the biggest firm in America, engineering firm. And this company had jobs all over the world. Most of it in Saudi Arabia, Iran, Dubai, Qatar. those countries, and I speak their languages too. I speak four languages exactly right now. So when I got hired 3 months later, they sent me to Iran. I had to go to Iran on copper mining, big project, $7 billion project. I stayed there. I was supposed to stay about 2 years, but the revolution happened in Iran. We had to leave. And 6-7 months later, we had to go, and because of the new government came, which is the religious government, which is now, you can see it now.
Yes.
It was very bad. They forced us to leave the job or leave the country. So from there, I had to go to Israel because a lot of Jewish that was in Iran, they were living too. They had to leave. So from there, I went to Paris. And then when I got to Los Angeles, Parsons sent me to Saudi Arabia immediately for 6 years. I was in Saudi Arabia. And I was in Dubai, and 6 years, 1 year in Dubai, and 6 years in Saudi Arabia. I had big, big projects. We did the airport project over there on three contracts I signed. So when I was in overseas, every 6 months we had to leave the country. Saudi Arabia, you have to leave the country because it's very depressing over there. There's no movie, there's no entertaining. Everything is pray, pray, pray. You know, this is the way the Muslim are.
Yes.
So I have no other choice to go to Europe. Every 6 months we had to go to Europe. So going to Europe, I found myself, to go to museums. There's the biggest museum in Syrian museum, which is in London, and Paris and in Berlin. Those are the biggest museum of Assyrian museum right now. And one in Iraq. There is one in Iraq, one in Turkey, and three in Europe, which is the biggest artifacts of Assyrian history are in Europe. So as a matter of fact, I was 2 years ago, I went to Ashurbanipal Library too. Anyhow, I went to London and came back 2 years ago. But when I was in Berlin, I noticed a tablet, which I can see. You can see them behind me.
Yes, right over your shoulder.
Yeah.
Yep.
This is a tablet, which is it's cataloged by V. They call it VA-243. This catalog shows that the solar system is different than ours now. They had seven planets, and right now we have nine planets. And I was amazed. I was very good in space and in, you know, I always liked space very much.
Yes.
Because in Iraq, when I was young, I built to myself what they call a telescope, 4 feet long. I used to look at the star because in Iraq it's so clear, you can see details of the stars deep inside. It was very, very interesting. So I made the telescope to look at the moon and stars sometimes. So I was very interested in that thing. So when I looked at the world that was drawn by the Assyrian, Chaldea, which called Chaldea means in Assyrian, when you say Chaldea, it means astronaut. I mean not astronaut. I mean those who looked at the stars. You know.
Okay. Yes. Yes.
Yes. Those are Chaldean. When they draw this, when I see a planet, which is not, it's only written on this planet, was in one of the Assyrian stories, very ancient stories, was written, the ancient story, which is called Assyrian Genesis. the epic of Genesis, epic of creation. This story, there is a Gilgamesh story, and there is a story they call Genesis, or Assyrian Genesis, or epic of creation.
Okay.
Epic of creation, it reminds you or talks about this planet called Nibiru, planet Nibiru, and called another planet over there I saw was planet Tiamat. So when I start studying the stories, and I found that there was a big difference between the stars now and when it was they were in different planets.
Interesting.
Yeah, there was a lot of difference between them. Why now we have 9 planets, and then at the time when they draw this, there was only 7 planets. Where what happened to 2 planets? How did it happen? Now we decide that Mercury was the moon of Venus. Mercury was moon of Venus, and Mars was the moon of our Assyrian planet, which is Tiamat planet. You follow what I'm saying?
Yes, exactly.
Mars was not a planet by itself. Okay, and Mercury was not a planet. It was a moon of Venus.
Okay.
But when this Nibiru planet, very big planet, came to in our galaxies, or in our solar system, what happened is made a change. First, they were so smart, they knew that this planet was going to hit them, because they did calculation and prepare for this 2-3 years ahead of time. They noticed that there was this planet coming to in their, you know, and they did the calculation. They found that it's coming right into them. And while it's coming, he pushed Mercury away immediately because of the force that has the magnetic force. It pushes away the Mercury away from Venus and came and hit their planet.
Okay.
Before it crushes it, they had to leave 600 Anunnakis. Anunnaki means those who descended from heaven. In Jewish, they call it, there's a word in Jewish, they call it, there's a word for that, for Anunnakis. We say Anunnaki, which is Assyrian mentioned Anunnaki, that means those who descended from heaven. That means came from heaven. They came down from heaven to earth. And because of that, when the Mercury became independent by his ride, because it was pushed by magnetic field of the Nibiru, it became independent. So now they count it as a planet, but it's very small and it's not a planet. But and then our planet crushed, became what they call the rocks around the moon. Suddenly, we had in this picture, they don't show astro belt.
Okay.
They don't show the astro belt around the Mars, because the Tiamat, when it crushes, Mars became independent by its right, and became they call it right now a planet. And the pieces of those around Mars, they call astro belt. It created astro belt. And it doesn't show in this our picture right now. It's in the tablets of Assyria. They don't mention that at all, because there was none at the time. You follow?
Yes, yes.
Yeah. So that, and another thing, 10,000 years ago, the earth was frozen, ice age was about 10,000 years ago. Well, when these two collided each other, Nibiru with our planet, a Syrian planet, they crushed each other, became millions of pieces. This way, some of the pieces of those planet, it fell on the Mars, some of them it fell on the moon, and a lot of pieces fell on the Earth. And the Earth became a lot of fire at the time because of this big piece of pieces of planet fell on it and made a lot of fire in the forests and created heat in the
okay, yes,
in the earth at the time 10,000 years ago, and melted the heated the world ever since then. It heated it, but at 10,000 years ago, half of the Europe and half of America was frozen almost. So at the time when this, before this happened, Assyrian from planet Nibiru, they were prepared for this thing, and they were already sending rovers to Earth to make sure, before they had an idea, they wanted to see if there was another planet can be living. And they can see Earth was green. They know that there was ocean there. They knew everything about it. So 300 of this Anunnaki was prepared, was trained to leave, to go. And because of this attack, this planet was coming to them, they knew that they were crushed. The king didn't want to go. He sent his own daughter and his son with the Anunnakis to come to this world. And they came in 6 months or 7 months, 8 months, like that. They flew with the flying saucer that I created, that flying saucer, because when an intelligent country they get in trouble, they knew they have the technology at the time, they could create these things and fly to the Earth. They did fly, and they made it in 7-8 months. And they landed in the area which is called right now Iraq. And they were safe, but most of the king didn't want to go. He stayed with the people of his own people, and him and his wife died. His daughter didn't want to go, but he forced her. He insisted he had to let the genius to fly her out to the airport and to the flying saucer, and they came back, and she had to leave. Anyhow, left the parents, died in there. But the Tiamat is not no longer there, the planet. But Assyrian, they wrote these things very clearly in their story, that there was a collision. And if you read the stories, especially Genesis of Assyrian, Epic of Creation, you can clearly see these things written very clearly. And yes, I decided to put these pictures, the name of the book, because these people, 7,000 years, they were most civilized people came to this world. They were the most civilized, as far as I know. They had an empire. They took Egypt even. They went half of Turkey. It was there, Iran, Turkey. And they went all the way to Egypt. Egypt was conquered by Assyria. They took the Egypt too. But because they were so far away, their army stayed was almost 3,000 miles away, and they left the country alone without protection when the king went to Egypt. And that's what the four countries, Iran and other countries, Turkey, and they attack Iraq and Assyria, and they destroy Assyria.
It's just
604, Assyrian collapsed. Ever since then, never. They burned the capital with 7-8 palaces there and never came back after that. And this is the story that how did they, these people came from another planet to our planet. And that clearly shows exactly. You know, as I always tell, that no one or no English can even understand, or Europeans, they can write many stories about Assyria, they never write it right. For example, yeah, they always write Assyrian, they put the Assyrian picture and they say Sumerian. Assyria was three countries, there were three cities, Akkad, Sumer, and Babylon. A king of Assyria from Akkad, King Sargon, he took the country, joined the country together, all became one country, and they went to north to build the capital, Nineveh.
It's a fascinating story. It was, and you do it so well. Johnson Karam, our guest on the program, the book is a riveting work of fiction, and if you're Googling Karam, is K-A-R-A-M. The name of the book is The True Ancient Aliens, Finding a New Planet to Live On. I'm going to take another 30 seconds or so here. We're just about out of time. What was this like for you telling the story, doing the research and presenting the story to the world? This has to be an exciting, rewarding project for you.
Yeah, I wish I could speak better English, but
I
wrote about 100 pages by hand. And I gave it to, this company, some writers. I mean, you know, the feeling is not the same like if I can write it. If I can write it now, it's 10 times better. If I know my English very good, because I'm very restricted. In home, everybody speaks my own language, Assyrian, which is same language that Jesus spoke. Assyrian language is like Aramaic language, very old language, one of the first language that created Assyrian. You could have read it before they started their writing. We created the writing. Assyrian created the writing, cuneiform writing, which is one of the oldest writing in the world. And we speak the same language that Jesus spoke. I mean, you know, Assyrian language is the oldest language in the world. And, you know, I mean,
well,
I don't know what to say.
You've done a wonderful job in telling the story. Yeah. And once again, our guest has been Johnson Karam. His book is The True Ancient Aliens, Finding a New Planet to Live On. Johnson, it's been a pleasure to have you with us on the program. Thank you so much for sharing a fascinating life that you've lived, and the history. We feel like we know that region a little better over there because of you being on the program and explaining everything to us. Thank you so much for being with us on the program.
Thank you very much. Thanks for all listeners. I really appreciate this program, and I hope they will enjoy it. And I did my best I can.
Well, you did an excellent job, and I appreciate that.
Thanks.
Once again, Johnson Karam.
Thank you, sir.
The True Ancient Aliens, Finding a New Planet to Live On, the name of the book. You'll find information on our website, thisweekinamerica.us, and we're back after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.